You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
Last week, we went deep into the cosmic Jesus, the creator, the sustainer, the God who holds atoms together. We saw that Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature. But today, we're going to shift gears as we continue on in our 9 weeks in the book of Hebrews, just for people coming out of Mormonism. Today, we're moving from the throne of the universe to the dirt of a carpenter's shop, because today we're going to ask the question, why did Jesus have to become human? If you grew up in the LDS church, you've been taught a very specific version of why Jesus came. You were taught about the council of heaven and the plan of salvation. You were taught about a Jesus who stepped forward to fulfill a role that technically any one of us could have filled if we were perfect enough. In Mormonism, the difference between you and Jesus is a difference of degree, not of kind. He's just further down the path than you are. That's what Mormonism teaches. But Hebrews chapter 2 teaches something different. The Bible shows us a Jesus who didn't just progress into humanity, but it shows us a God who descended into humanity. Think about it. There's a tension that we all feel, right? When you're struggling, really struggling with a secret sin or a crushing grief or the fear that you're just not worthy enough for the celestial kingdom, then God can feel really far away. He feels like a cold, distant judge sitting at the top of a very long ladder of precepts and covenants. In the LDS culture, there's an unspoken pressure to put on the face, right? You show up to the ward, you perform your duties, you do your calling, you pay your tithing, and you hope that maybe by the end of your life, you've done enough to bridge the gap, right? But the author of Hebrews writes to people who were feeling that same exact exhaustion. It wasn't the Mormon church, it was the Jewish church or the Jewish religion that so many of these recipients of this letter had come out of. Now they're Christians, but they're thinking back to Judaism. They're tempted to go back to the law of Moses because the law was predictable. It was a checklist. But verses 14 to 18 present a truth that's way more radical than kind of a religious checklist. These verses tell us that God didn't give us a ladder to climb to get to him, but instead God became human to come down to us. Now, the theological term for this is the incarnation. In traditional Christianity, we believe that Jesus is one person with two distinct natures. He's fully God and fully man. Technically, this is called the hypostatic union. But this is where most Mormons kind of get tripped up. Joseph Smith taught that God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man. That's from the King Follett Discourse. And in that worldview, becoming human isn't a miracle, it's just a stage of development, right? This is probably what you were taught if you were a Mormon. This is what you would have picked up over the years in Mormonism. But Hebrews chapter 2 tells us something different. It says that the Son became flesh and blood because we are flesh and blood. He didn't have to do it for his own progression. He did it as a rescue mission. And becoming human didn't mean that Jesus had to turn off his godhood. He just chose to set aside the exercise of his divine prerogatives, right? So he lived in total dependence on the Holy Spirit, showing us for the first time what a perfect human life actually looks like. And today as we study Hebrews chapter 2, and I encourage you to read it for yourself, but today as we study it, we're going to go through seven reasons why the God of the universe had to come down and get dusty, right? Seven reasons from these verses for the incarnation. And the first reason is Jesus did it to be our representative. The verse says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. Think of it like in a courtroom. You know, you're going to need a lawyer who understands the law, but you also need one who understands your case. Jesus became human because only a human can represent humanity. But in LDS thought, Jesus is your representative because he's your elder brother. This is completely different than what Hebrews chapter 2 is telling us. The Bible says that Jesus is our representative because he's the new Adam. where the first Adam failed in the garden, the second Adam, Jesus, that's literally what the Bible calls him at different places, that Jesus is the second Adam, that he succeeded in a garden, not the Garden of Eden, but the Garden of Gethsemane. So Jesus, then, as our representative, he stands in our place, not just as a sibling, but as the champion. Reason number two, Jesus had to become human because he had to be able to die. And this is the great paradox. God, by definition, cannot die. He's eternal. He is the great I am. But the penalty for sin is death. Follow me here. The penalty for sin is death. We're the sinners. It's a debt that must be paid in the currency of blood. We're going to learn that later on in the Hebrew series when it says that because of our sin, forgiveness requires blood. Okay, this is just this eternal concept. So if Jesus was going to pay our debt, he had to acquire the currency. He had to take on a body that could bleed. He had to take on a heart that could stop and lungs that could fail. In other words, without the incarnation, there is no atonement. Jesus couldn't die for us if he was only fully God. He had to also be fully man so that he could die. That's what Hebrews chapter 2 says. Reason number three, Jesus took on flesh to break the devil's power. The verse says this, only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Now notice the past tense there. The word is had. In Mormonism, there's often a heavy focus on the ongoing battle with Satan, the adversary, who's constantly trying to trip you up. But Hebrews says that through his death, Jesus rendered powerless the one who had the power of death, had the power of death. Jesus isn't breaking the devil's power. Jesus broke the devil's power. See, Satan's only real weapon is his ability to accuse you before God. Look at their sins. They aren't worthy. They haven't kept their covenants. But when Jesus died as a human, he took the evidence file of your sins and he nailed it to the cross. Satan can scream all he wants, but he has no legal standing anymore because the power of death is broken. Jesus did it once and for all on the cross. This is what the Bible teaches. And that is completely different than what Mormonism teaches. It's all about his work. It's not about our work. Jesus didn't just open up the door so that we could do the real work. No, Jesus did the real work. Jesus broke the power of the devil. Reason number four, Jesus had to take on flesh to kill the fear of death. The verse says, he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Now, for many in the LDS faith, death is a realm of uncertainty, right? You'll be thinking, will I be with my family? Did I do enough? Which kingdom will I end up in? It's a life lived in slavery to fear if you're Mormon. But that's not how it's supposed to be for Christians. Because the incarnation means that Jesus has been to the spirit world, quote unquote, and back, right? The incarnation means that Jesus has set us free from the fear of dying. We don't have to wonder where we're going to go. The Bible says that when we die, we'll be judged. And if we've placed our faith in Jesus, think about how simple this is. If we've placed our faith in Jesus, then we can trust fully in his payment for our sin. We don't have to wonder if we're going to make it because it's not dependent on our work. It's not dependent on our blood. It's dependent on the blood of Jesus. Jesus conquered sin and death and the grave. This is the consistent message of the Bible. And so for the Christian, death isn't a final exam that you might fail. Death is a door that Jesus has already unlocked. So we don't have to be slaves to the fear of dying anymore. Number five, Jesus took on flesh to be our high priest. Now we'll talk about this more a little bit later on in our study of the book of Hebrews, but for now, the author of Hebrews already mentions this. And think about what a priest is. I think Mormons really understand this. Actually, probably I would say Mormons misunderstand this, right? But a priest, according to the Bible, is a bridge. And to bridge two sides, you have to touch both sides. So if Jesus were only God, he couldn't touch our weakness. If he were only man, he couldn't touch God's holiness. But by being both, Jesus is the perfect bridge. He's the perfect priest. He's the perfect, in fact, Hebrews is going to tell us, he's the ultimate, the last mediator, the last high priest. We don't need any more high priests. And so Jesus, because he took on flesh, he doesn't just sympathize from a distance. He actually empathizes with us. He knows what it feels like to be hungry, to be betrayed, to be exhausted, to be tempted. Jesus is the perfect mediator, the perfect bridge, the perfect priest. Reason number six, Jesus had to take on flesh to be the sacrifice. See, in the Old Testament, the priest brought a lamb as the sacrifice. In the New Testament, the priest is the lamb. This is the power move of grace. God didn't demand a sacrifice from us. He provided the sacrifice for us in Jesus. God didn't stay behind a veil to wait for us to bring the blood. He came out from behind the veil. And in Jesus, through the incarnation, God shed his own blood for us to be the sacrifice. And reason number seven is Jesus took on flesh to help us in our testing. It says in that verse, because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Now, this is, in my opinion, the most personal reason of the seven reasons that the author of Hebrews gives us for the incarnation. Because think about it. When you're tempted to lie, when you're tempted to give in to lust or to abandon your faith because it's just too hard, Jesus knows what that temptation feels like. He knows the pull of that temptation. Hebrews tells us that he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. He didn't win because he cheated using God powers. He won as a man relying on the Word and the Holy Spirit, just like we have to win, right? We don't get to tap into some special divinity, and Jesus didn't either when he faced all of those temptations as a man. He relied on the same things that we have to rely on, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, God's people. And because he won, he can now help me and you and anyone who's struggling with temptation. Because he took on flesh, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Now, I can hear the pushback from my Mormon friends. You might say, well, look, but we believe that Jesus suffered for our sin in Gethsemane. We believe he bled from every pore because he was taking on our pains. Isn't that enough to show that he understands us? Like, don't we kind of get this already that Jesus took on flesh? I mean, isn't this part of what we believe? And it's true that LDS theology puts this emphasis on Gethsemane and Jesus' atonement in Gethsemane. But let's look closely at Hebrews 2. It says that he broke the power of death through his death. So the bleeding from every pore, which is often used in Mormonism to say that the atonement was primarily about empathy, is actually missing the point theologically. It's not just Jesus feeling our pain so that he can know how to help us. This is actually the problem, one of the problems in Mormon's Christology, which is the study of Jesus, like trying to understand who Jesus really is. Jesus is basically just a man in Mormonism, essentially, that Jesus didn't always have godhood, divinity, but Jesus had to work for divinity. This is different from what Hebrews is teaching and what the Bible teaches. So in essence, kind of the idea of the atonement at Gethsemane, which isn't accurate, that whole idea misses the point. It puts too much emphasis on Jesus' humanity and misses the point that Jesus is also God and always was God. And then, of course, it misses the point that the atonement happened at the cross, not in the garden. Because it's not just that Jesus felt your pain, it's that he took your penalty. The cross wasn't just a demonstration of love, it was a satisfaction of justice. Jesus didn't just become human to feel what we feel. He became human to be what we are, so we could become what he is, the righteousness before God, not so that we can become gods like Mormonism teaches. I know this can be really confusing. As a Mormon, you might be reading Hebrews chapter 2 and thinking, this is what we believe, isn't it? And my answer to that would be, no, it's not, because you embrace only the humanity of Jesus, not the divinity and humanity of Jesus. And this is where Mormonism really gets it wrong. So yes, the incarnation means that God is approachable, but I want to make sure you understand this. He's not waiting for you to become a God. He became a man so he could bring you home, so that he can open up a door for you and for me and for anyone who would put our faith in him, so that we who have always been humans and always will only ever be humans, that's the difference between us and Jesus, we don't need the incarnation like Jesus needed the incarnation. We're not spirit babies along with Jesus, you know, before we're born into the world. That's just not what the Bible teaches. So the identity of Jesus, the incarnation of Jesus, is truly amazing and genuinely life-changing when you understand the incarnation sets Jesus apart from us. He was always God, and then he became man. We were very different from that because we were never God. We did not have a pre-existence. Jesus pre-existed as God. And then at one point in time, he took on flesh and added that hypostatic union. He added that humanity to his divine nature. We're different because we've always been human. We always will be human. And as humans, we needed Jesus to do what he did. So if you're a Mormon, if you're still kind of one foot in, one foot out, really trying to understand who Jesus really is, and how you can get to him, I want you to hear this. Stop trying to climb the ladder. The ladder has come down to you. Read Hebrews chapter 2 for yourself and see if you don't understand the beauty and the brilliance of the incarnation of Jesus.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to give to help support our ministry, please visit pursuegod.org/donate. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.